It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Well, the Holy Spirit is stirring. He's moving. Do you sense Him?
Yes.
Yeah. He's in the house. Could I just, as we're starting out, hopefully you have your outline, but we're going to pray. And I'd like to minister the word of the Lord to someone as we get going this morning. So let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for your word, its spirit, its life. And thank you for your truth. It sets us free today. Thank you for the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we've inherited that. We are heirs of the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're participators in that. So, Lord, open up our hearts and give us a deeper understanding of what your word is telling to us about your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell your neighbor, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Tell somebody else, I'm not ashamed. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to start reading in the book of Luke. And as we pick up the story, Jesus had just come through Capernaum. And he was in the home of a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a very religious, strict religious person. And a sinful woman anointed Jesus in that house. She had been a sinful woman, and the Lord forgave her, but she actually anointed Jesus in this house. And of course, the religious folks were saying, why would you let this sinful woman touch you? Don't you know what she's done or where she's been? But you know what? The Lord had so much grace on her because he knew her heart. We have a tendency to look at where people have been and what they have done. But God sees the heart. And so this is what they were coming from. And they were traveled back to Galilee. And that's where we're going to pick up the story. If you would read with me, after this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuzaz, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. All right, so Jesus is traveling with his apostles, and there is a group of women, rich women, who are traveling along supporting this whole group out of their own means. Now this tells me that these women were entrepreneurs and they had good business sense and they were skilled in what they did and they had money and they traveled with Jesus. Think about that. And there was many of them. And often in today, people will try to exclude women from the ministry, but they were always with Jesus. And they weren't just giving their money. But we find in the scripture there were many times they were called upon to preach, to prophesy, to teach, and even pull young men aside to set their doctrine straight. That's right. And so women have a place in the kingdom of God. Because women, in the book of Psalms, says that there's a great company of women who proclaim the good news of the gospel. So women, don't think you're less than.
That's right.
The anointing that is on every person is the same Holy Spirit.
Right.
Your neighbor's got the same Holy Spirit you have.
Amen.
Amen? Okay. So we could go on and on with that, but I think our church has an understanding that the Lord uses men, women, and children. And he uses you regardless of where you came from. Because he looks at the heart. He didn't look at the sinner woman that was anointing his feet as a sinner. He looked at her as forgiven. You see, this is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have to drag our past around with us anymore. We don't have to drag all that guilt and shame around with us anymore. As a matter of fact, you don't have to drag around the guilt and the shame that you were feeling yesterday. It's not stuffed away in the past. Come on, for some of you sitting here, it was last night. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, he came to earth to show us how to do these things. And there's examples in the scripture as we go along of what Jesus did. Right now, he went to prepare a place for us. Did you know that?
Yes.
He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. So someday, we're going to be with the Lord. And yeah, we're all going to be with the Lord. I don't know how he's going to do that. You know, we think of him as just one person. But we're all going to be with him. Those kind of things make me start thinking, well, how can that be? But we'll move on. And when he went away, he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is his spirit in the earth today. And it is the spirit of dunamis, dynamite power. And that's what we see Jesus demonstrated everywhere he went. The devils ran. Diseases gave up. And people were healed, delivered, and set free. And that's what we have inherited, and that's for me today. Tell your neighbor, it's for me today. And I'm claiming it. Amen. Amen. Let's to number one, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 18:28 through 30, let's read it together. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. You know, I really like church in here because I can really hear you. I know you're really reading. Sometimes in the big room, it's like, did anybody read that? I see your mouse moving. So all authority was given to Jesus Christ. And the reason all authority was given to him is because he paid the debt of sin for mankind. It is because he was willing to die on the cross for the world, for everyone, not just one particular nation or country, for everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus was willing to do that. He was willing to pay the price. There was a price to pay for the sin. You see, man, back in the garden, Adam and Eve, they let go of their inheritance. They let go of the authority and the dominion that God had given them. And they fell. We call it the fall. They fell into sin. I had a professor that said, they didn't fall into sin, they leaped into sin. Adam knew better. But they went ahead and did it anyway. How many of you, don't raise your hand. You know you shouldn't be doing that, but you do it anyway. Yeah, okay. So when people go, oh, I don't know how they could have done that. Well, no, we don't quite probably have the whole story of everything that went on in that garden, right? But Jesus paid that price for you and I. He paid the price for the whole world. So, all authority in heaven and in earth was restored to Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
All authority. There wasn't anything that was left out. The authority that was taken from man at the fall, Jesus, as a man, the Lamb of God, took that authority back. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he made a show of Satan openly. And he is defeated.
Amen.
You know, we live sometimes and think sometimes like the devil is so much greater.
Yes.
But he's not.
No.
He's not.
No.
Jesus has all authority.
Amen.
He is ruling now.
Okay.
And when we come into the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, sin no longer has dominion over us.
Amen.
You see, that's the only way we can get out from underneath the dominion and the pressures of sin,
yes,
is to come into Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Let's read Romans 6, 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace.
Hallelujah.
So dominion means to have mastery, rule, and government. When we come into the kingdom of God, it's the good news of God's government. We come into a new governmental system with its own economic system, with its own healthcare system. We come into God's kingdom. And sin no longer rules over us. Now we're going to spend a lot of time talking about sin and how it rules over us, because we all know. We're all sitting here and we all know how sin tries to take a hold of our lives to destroy us. It's a destroyer. It's a slippery slope. You give into one thing, and then it's two things. And pretty soon your mind is wandering, and it's three things. Is that true?
Yes.
It's true. And so sin no longer rules over us. If you notice at the beginning of that scripture, it says, therefore, do not let sin reign. Now, we can still let sin reign in our life.
Yes.
We have a free will. We have a free choice. We can do whatever we want to do. But the scripture says, don't let it. I always say it's the let that gets us into trouble. Just that three-letter word, let. James told us to let patience have her perfect work. How many of you enjoy letting patience work? See, it's the let that gets us in trouble. We're ready to move forward quicker. Okay, Ephesians 1, 19 through 21. We're talking about dominion again. Ephesians 1, 19 through 21, read it with me. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So Jesus Christ has dominion over every principality and power. So whatever we're facing, whatever we're up against, because remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sometimes it's difficult to remember that. Because you want to strangle that person. Right? I mean, that's the truth. You want to grab a hold of them, maybe punch them, huh, Justin? I mean, you just want to take them out sometime. But we have to remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There is something that is controlling them in the kingdom of darkness. And if we can begin to shift our thinking into, okay, God, what is going on in the spirit here? And sometimes we get all joined in with that, don't we?
Yes.
You know, that's why it's important we have the Holy Spirit, so that we can keep ourselves calm.
Yes.
So that we don't raise our voice. Ah, you think that's funny? Yesterday, Lisa Growender was over at my house, and she was helping me work with, I have a Rottweiler, and now I have two Rottweilers.
Oh,
are you jealous? Shirley loves Rottweilers, too. But anyway, Nancy and Brian got a Rottweiler from her cousin out in Texas, and Isabella is very allergic to the dog, and she swelled all up and her eyes were swollen, and they got a hold of me and told me the situation, and he said they would be glad to give it to me. It's 8 months old. And so I asked Pastor Leonard, and Pastor Leonard said, it's up to you. So I said, yes, I'll take the Rottweiler. But she was correcting the dogs, and at one point, that's what I was getting to, she was correcting the dogs, and they were out in the yard, and we were having some controlled greeting, you know, and some controlled rough play, but she raised her voice, and she didn't want to raise her voice, but she did, and she carried through what she was doing. She's really good, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, she's really good at dog training. And she said to me, oh, when it was all over and everything was calm, she's like, I wish I wouldn't have raised my voice. And I thought, you know, Lisa's concerned about raising her voice at the dog. I know, and that's wonderful, but I mean, I'm thinking, how many times have I raised my voice at my children and other people, you know? It's like, okay, and yell at the dog. But we're learning lots from her, and so if you have an animal that needs to be trained, you can hire her services. I'm just going to put that little plug in there. Because she is worth the money.
Yes.
She knows what she's doing. So, anyway, moving on. Not letting sin have dominion over us is very, very important. And remembering that Jesus Christ, his name's above every name.
Right.
So whatever we're facing, we can call on the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Because Jesus is always there.
Amen.
His ears are tuned into you. You know, sometimes we go about our day and get so busy that we forget that God is right there.
Yes.
The Lord is listening to us. And the scripture says he's a very present help in time of trouble.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I go through the day and I usually face several different difficult, troubling situations. Do you? Yeah, that's all a part of life. We got to have God to get us through.
Yes.
So number two, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that is what we read in Matthew. Is that right?
Yes.
We're supposed to go preach the gospel. Jesus went to every village preaching and healing people and setting people free. Are we on Romans 5:8? Go in Jesus. What does that say? Let's go back. Then read the next one. Jesus' love for the lost was not hindered by their unbelief and their hatred. Wow. Sometimes we get hindered by someone's unbelief and hatred. You know, it causes us to back up, stop talking to people, stop sharing Christ. And have you noticed that the hatred in the world for Christians is getting greater and greater?
Yeah.
They don't want to hear about the name of Jesus. because it's the name that's above every name. And there's a principality and power at work behind that. And it is called the Antichrist spirit. It's Antichrist. It doesn't want anything to do with the saving name of Jesus. So we're commanded to carry out this great commission. And before we hand out our bookmarks, because we're going to read through these bookmarks today, I just want to share a little story with you about a priest, a minister, and a rabbi. Yeah. So a priest, a minister, and a rabbi, they wanted to see who could do the best job of sharing the gospel to creatures. Because if you remember, the scripture says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, so they decided that they would go out into the woods and find a bear and try to convert it. Okay. So later, they all got together and the priest begins, when I found the bear, I read to him the catechism and sprinkled him with holy water. And next week is his first communion. The minister says, I found a bear by the stream and preached God's holy word. The bear was so mesmerized that he let me baptize him. And then they both looked at the rabbi, who was lying on a gurney in a body cast. And the rabbi says, looking back, maybe I shouldn't have started with circumcision. Just a little humor about preaching the gospel. All right, at that conjunction, we will hand out our bookmarks. If I have an usher that can come and let's give everybody a bookmark. And Apostle Leonard, you want to help here? And Pastor Mario, if you'll let him know, I have some coming in Spanish next week. They're just like these that we use. Very excited that they're coming. They were supposed to be here this week, and they got delayed in shipping. So the good news about that is I called and let them know. I said they were supposed to be here Friday. And so they're refunding the shipping that I paid on them. But they won't be here till Monday. But we saved $8, church. And we're trying to save money. So we're glad we saved $8. Do you need more? There's more up here. Let everybody have one, please. And on the back side, need some more? On the back side, we have our address and phone number and website. So we're to proclaim the good news of the gospel. God demonstrated his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we're sharing the good news of the gospel with sinners, right? And the good news of the gospel is Jesus Christ has demonstrated his love for you. You were worth dying for. Some people just need to hear that they have value and they were, Jesus believed they were worth dying for. So, and this is, we're just going to go ahead and read through this. How to experience new life in Christ. Everyone is a sinner and is separated from God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. In this, when I was a little girl, they taught me this black represented sin. Yeah. Which it does. We were all born in sin. But I like to think of the black representing darkness.
Yeah.
We're in darkness. You know, you're wandering around, you don't know quite what to do. And people get that are in darkness. You know, if you've been saved a long time, sometimes you forget about how it feels to be a person in darkness without the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it represents sin, but also represents darkness. They can't find their way. You see, that's why God gave us the responsibility of sharing the gospel with people, because they can't find their way. They don't know what to do. A lot of times when you talk to people, they'll just say, just please tell me what to do. And we always point them to Jesus. Let's read the red one. God loved us all so much that he gave his son to die for our sins. But God commended his love toward us. In fact, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Red. What do you think that represents? The blood of Jesus. He was willing to shed his blood and die for us. Let's read the yellow one. Death means separation forever from God. Eternal life comes by trusting Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 23. The good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You know, we're all going to get a paycheck someday.
Right.
The wages that you earn from sinning. Did you know you earn wages from sinning? You get a paycheck for that. And what is it?
Death.
Death. Yes, death. Death. But God gives us what?
Life.
And that's in this world too right now.
Amen.
We have no idea how many times the Lord has saved us from death.
Amen.
Come on, how many times have you had a close call in an accident? Almost in an accident. Last year I was driving up to Chicago, and like the week before I left, I remember looking at my car, and I saw the whole side dented in. Like, it was like a vision. Have you ever had a vision? It was just like the whole side was dented in, and I'm like, wow, I wonder what that means. I think that's probably a warning from the Lord.
Yes.
And so Apostle Leonard and I prayed, and our children were praying, and other people were praying, and I took the trip. It wasn't enough to make me stay home. But I was driving on those interstates, you know, in Chicago. You have 6 lanes, all this traffic going, and I like to stay in the fast lane. And so I am driving in the fast lane, and I come up upon a huge truck that stopped there. Lights are going, and I saw it, and I looked, and there was nowhere to go. And we're doing 65 on this interstate. And I felt the car go like this around that thing. And it was almost like the Lord vaporized my car and me and took me through half of that truck to get to the other side. Now, see, I believe God can do that. I believe He can do that. We're just made up of all these little molecules, right?
Yeah.
Isn't everything in the universe a bunch of molecules put together? So God can do that.
Amen.
I was just like, I remember looking back, thinking, I don't know how I got by that. But thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that you took me through, because it would have been my side of the car completely crushed. And I wouldn't be standing here today to share that testimony with you that God saved my life.
Amen.
And none of us know how many times that's happened.
Right.
How many times God has intervened for us because His angels are with us.
Yes.
He has come to give us life. And as a matter of fact, if we're taken from the earth today, we have eternal life.
Amen.
It's not in the sweet by and by.
Amen.
We walk in eternal life.
Yes.
That's already our gift.
Yes.
You know, I used to think of eternal life when I get to heaven. Well, yeah. I mean, that's when it's completely manifested. But here in this earth, Let's remember, we have life. We have been given the gift of life. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, which brings death and destruction into our life, and put into the kingdom of God. We're kingdom people. We are kingdom people. We are in the kingdom of God. And I want to clarify that, because we're not... Other people call themselves kingdom people, okay? I'm talking about the kingdom of Jesus Christ, right? All right. Because, you know, people listen to this recording. We just want to make sure they got it straight. All right, let's read the white one. In order to begin your new life in Christ, be saved, you must believe that Jesus died for your sins and declare that you accept him as Savior. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. Sometimes people make it really complicated. It's simply confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart that Jesus is Lord. Let's read the next one. And well, before we go on, what's the white stand for, you think?
Purity.
Purity. Cleansing. We get scrubbed up real good, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's do the blue one. This is God's promise to you. If you accept Jesus, he will accept you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:3. Yeah, whoever. Once again, there we are with the whoever. Whomsoever calls on the name of the Lord. Let's read the green one. If you would like to accept Jesus now, pray the following prayer. Dear God, I know I have sinned, and I want to ask you for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I now accept your offer to eternal life. I will follow Jesus as my Savior and try to obey him in all that I do. Thank you for my new life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So see, that makes it really simple to share the gospel. And we have more of these. And like I said, we're getting them in Spanish. And so we will have them available. We want to invite people to church. But I always encourage people, get them saved before you bring them.
Amen.
You can do that. We used to say, oh, come to church, you know, because we were hoping they come to church and get saved. And so then that way it puts all the responsibility on the pastor. Right? But really, Jesus said, who's supposed to do it?
We are.
That's right. You're ambassadors. You are the ones that take the gospel into the world and share the good news. It's good news. It is good news. I've got good news for you. When they're crying to you, nothing's going right in their marriage, nothing's going right with their kids, hey, I got good news for you. You know, in the midst of all that, you can find peace in your own heart.
Oh, yeah.
You love those people, but you can find peace in your heart so you can help them. Yeah. Amen? So you got good news to share. And you're commanded by Jesus Christ to do so. So if you don't do it, guess who you get to answer to? No one's going to guess. Because you all know, right? You all know who you're going to get the answer to. Let's go to our closing verse. One of my favorite passages. Jesus is sharing in Luke 4:18-21. And this is a scripture from Isaiah 61:6. And he was in, get this, he was in the temple that day. And he was asked to read from the book. And so he picked up the book and he read. to the synagogue, and this is what he said. Let's read it together. He, Jesus, found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Amen. What a shock for those sitting in the synagogue. But Jesus said, "I am here to fulfill this. The anointing is upon me. And the anointing is upon us." And seeing yourself as God's anointed one, because we're in Christ Jesus. Amen? We can do all three things through Christ who gives us strength. Everything that we do is in Christ. And so what Christ has belongs to us too. And so you have the anointing to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, to preach the gospel to the poor. We have that anointing to open blind eyes. Often the blind eyes that are open are the spiritual eyes. They can't see. They can't know. They're in darkness. Remember, they're in darkness. Why do people act the way they act? Because they're in darkness. They're in darkness. They don't know. And so that's why God commissioned you and I to share the good news of the gospel. And so, how many is going to do it? You going to do it? Been doing it? Been sharing the gospel? You got someone you're praying for? Pastor Vanessa put a board right out here, and she asked that you put the name of the person you're praying for to receive salvation, or the person that you're discipling, on that board so we can pray. And so take advantage of that board. It's right out here. She did it all in chalk. And so as people get saved and they're off your prayer list, you can take them off our prayer list, okay? But that's what that's for. Because God has sent us to work together.
Yes.
To work together to spread the good news of the gospel. And so I'm going to ask if there's anyone here today. You just prayed this prayer, but did you pray it for the first time? Is there anyone here today that prayed this prayer for the first time? All right. I'm praying for you that you bring some people into the church that you got to pray this prayer. Does anyone here have fear to share the gospel? You afraid to share? You feel intimidated? Some are shaking their head no, some are just looking at me. Well, I'm going to pray over everybody then. Father, we thank you that you didn't give us the spirit of fear, but you gave to us as your children a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. So, Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit, that spirit that's on the inside of us, that powerful dynamite spirit that raised you from the dead, ignites us on the inside with a holy boldness. Lord, to not back up because we see people's hatred or unbelief, and we sense that spirit of resistance. Lord, I pray that you give us a boldness to press through all of that with the good news of the gospel, because your word penetrates through the darkness. And so, God, we thank you for that boldness to rise up on the inside of each one of us. Lord, that we continue to add to the kingdom and continue to add to the church and grow the church. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. He's a good, good Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.